And we wanted to make sure that they were with us this morning. And so it's a privilege and an honor to be here this morning. And thank you so much for the invitation. Of course, our prayers and our hearts go out to Brother Don and his wife. I know he wanted to be here. And so we will continue to pray for him as well, and for his wife, and for your church. And I believe the message this morning would be something that Brother Don would loudly say an amen to. And I hope and pray that as he's there where he is, he's comforted by our mutual prayers, and that he knows that his church is here worshiping the Lord God, the living God. And I know that rejoices his heart. Being a pastor and a preacher, I'm sure his greatest desire is for his congregation to come to know the Lord in a more greater, more intimate way. And I hope and pray that that would be all our desire this morning. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalm, the book of Psalms. Again, our church finds ourselves in the midst of studying a chapter in the Psalms. Last time I was here, we was in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come unto his presence with singing. And this morning, I'd like to look at a verse here in Psalm chapter 84 that I would hope and pray would be an encouragement to us all. And I hope and pray the Lord would be glorified and honored for it. It might seem like a rare subject for some of you, but I hope and pray most of all that it would inspire all of us as God's children to greatly long even more for the presence of the living God. I believe in a lot of places this morning where they're gathering together to worship, that they're lacking the presence of God. We need only look around us and to see the many empty pews in every church to realize that there is not a hunger and a thirst for the living God. And I pray for those who do seek the presence of the living God that it would inspire and encourage us to pray even more, that God would be honored and glorified in drawing near to us. Psalm 84, beginning in verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, worth loving. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. Baca is a valley of tears. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have already approached the throne of grace this morning because we are a people in great need. Lord, we bring our brother Don and his wife before us this morning as we approach thy throne, and we beseech thee that you would bless them with your presence and with your love. And Lord, I pray that, Father, Lord, you would touch her in a most amazing way. If it be thy will, Father, Lord, we pray that, God, you would raise her up and, Lord, restore her health. Father, we trust in thee, being the sovereign God, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We thank you, dear God, that we can cast all our cares upon you because you said you careth for us. We thank you that in all our afflictions, you are afflicted. We thank you that, Lord, you consider us the apple of thine eye. Father, I pray that we would bear witness to the sentiments and compassions and longings of this psalmist. That, Lord, you increase in our hearts and our minds this morning a longing for the presence of the living God. May you be honored and glorified in all we say and do today, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. The psalmist speaks about the word of the Lord giveth light unto the simple-minded. Nothing discerns the thoughts and true intents of the heart more than the precious word of God. Quick and powerful, Hebrews said, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces into the very thoughts and intents of our own heart. For within these sacred pages, men are made to see their real character. Here we come face to face with the true condition of our hearts and the true intentions of our every thought and desire. We may hide from man, but we cannot hide from God. God knows our hearts this morning. He knows upon what we set our hearts and our affections. He knows our deepest intentions. He knows everything about us. It's the divine truth which terrifies the ungodly, and it fills their hearts and minds with great contempt and indignation for the Word of God. Yet one which compels every true believer who has come to truly know and experience the grace of God in Christ Jesus to cry out with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." That's the desire of every true child of God when we approach the Word of God. We know that God knows all things, and we seek to hide nothing from Him, but we would rather God open up the depths of our hearts in such a manner that we might know if there is any wickedness in us, that He might cleanse us, that we might walk with our God. And that's exactly what we have here in Psalm 84. We have a compassion and we have a longing for the living God, which is rare in this day and age of post-Christianity. Why is it that there are so few today who share in the psalmist's compassions for the tabernacles of the Lord? Who truly longeth, even fainteth, the psalmist says, for the courts of the Lord? Is it not because it is rare to find one today whose heart and flesh, like the psalmist, crieth out for the living God? If we would but take a moment this morning and have God search our hearts to reveal unto us the reason for us being here this morning. Have we come that we might experience the presence of the living God as we worship Him in spirit and truth? Have we come longing that He would speak to our hearts and fellowship with us? Have we come with a song in our hearts and praise on our lips, that we might glorify God? The psalmist is not a condemnation upon those who seek to dwell in the house of God, but by the absence of many in His tabernacles and in His courts, beloved, it's a sad evidence that there are few whose heart and flesh crieth out for the living God. If these walls this morning could speak and reminisce of the past when the pews were full and the singing echoed out on the streets of Coleman, souls were saved and Christians were encouraged, we too would cry out with the psalmist, "My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. When shall I appear before God?" And yet, strangely, it is the very absence of so many within the tabernacles and courts of the Lord which should cause our hearts and flesh to cry out with the psalmist. For the psalmist's desire and longing for God and his presence in the tabernacle was greatly incited by his being denied the presence of God. You can tell in the beginning of the words, the psalmist has been denied the presence of the Lord. He's been denied the tabernacles and the courts, and he longed for the courts and tabernacles of God. He longed to experience the presence of God when God's people assemble. Tell me not you don't believe in the importance of the church in the life of God's people. When we gather together as God's people to sing praise, God does majestic things in our midst. He doesn't say, I'll worship God in the wilderness alone. He says, no, I find the presence of the living God in the tabernacles, in the courts with God's people, as we join together, unified in heart, in prayer and praise. God manifests his presence to us, and we are blessed and encouraged and strengthened, and God is glorified. His soul's longing, even fainting for the courts of the Lord, and his heart and his flesh crying out for the living God was greatly increased by their absence. Almost like the prodigal son, who didn't realize he had all things sufficient when he was with the Father, until he lost everything. And in the midst of the swines and the pigs, he cried out and said, my Father has all the things I needed. And I didn't realize it until I'd lost everything. When they were laying the foundation of the temple, which had been destroyed under Ezra, many of the priests, listen to this, many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, Ezra chapter 3, who were ancient men that had seen the first house. They'd witnessed Solomon's temple. You remember what Queen Bathsheba said about it? Queen of Sheba, I mean. Remember what she said about it? The half has not been told. It was a glorious thing. When the ancient men, the Levites and priests, saw the foundation was built, and they remembered the days when it was first Solomon's temple, it said that their eyes, they wept with a loud voice. They cried. Why? Because they wondered if they'd ever see the splendor of that again. The foundation was built, but would they ever see the splendor of the house of the Lord as they did in the days of Solomon? I've been in the ministry for 35 years. And I can truly say, when I look in the past, I remember days. Some of you, I'm sure, do too. When the house of God was fuller than it is today. When God's people were joyful and rejoicing with one another, encouraging one another. The church was alive. The presence of God was real. The Holy Spirit moved when we sang songs and praises to God. It was something that was real and genuine, encouraged our heart. We remember such days. Sometimes we don't know how good we have it from God until He takes away the things we have. And then we look back and say, oh, I had it so good with God. Sometimes it's the absence of those things which incites our hearts to long after God. Do you know that? God is good, is He not? Isn't God good? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. God, out of His infinite mercy and grace, when we begin to neglect Him and stray from Him, will make us thirst after Him. You know, Martha and Mary, they knew the Lord loved their brother. He whom thou lovest is sick. But do you know when the Pharisees realized He loved Lazarus? When He wept. And they said, behold, how He loved him. Oh, beloved, we can bear witness with the psalmist, can we not? We can bear witness with his yearnings and longings for the house of God and for the presence of the living God. Blessed are they, he says in verse 4, who dwell in the house of the Lord. Blessed are they who dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Look at the beatitudes, the characteristics of those who dwell in the house of God. He describes it to us. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. In what? In the house of God. In whose heart are the ways of them. Who? In the house of God. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The valley of tears, sorrow, pain, agony. It doesn't destroy them. But because he's been dwelling in the house of God, he's learned to make it a well of water. Follow him. And rain also filleth the pools. That's blessings from heaven. God rains down blessings from heaven. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Those are the Beatitudes, verses 4 to 7, the characteristics of those who dwell in the house of the Lord. These blessings and Beatitudes do not belong to all who visit the house of God. For the psalmist declares it's only to those who dwell in the house of God. Listen to the words of God. Blessed are they that dwell. He makes a distinction. Not everybody, but those who dwell in the house of God. It's only those who dwell there, whose strength is in her and whose heart are the ways of them. Those who only occasionally or frequently visit the house of God are not intended. He's not saying anybody that occasionally visits the house of God is blessed. He's saying, no, those that dwell. Now, don't get me wrong. Those who occasionally or frequently visit the house of God, they get blessings. Who doesn't get blessed when they're in the presence of God? In the house of God, there are blessings to be had, blessings to receive. But they're not the blessings the psalmist is describing. Their blessings are temporal. Have you ever noticed people really don't want God until they're in trouble, and then they say, pray for me? Well, do you go to church? Oh, no, I don't go to church. Do you read your Bible? No, I don't go to the Bible. But pray for me. I need God now. Why are you neglecting God and the house of God, and then you want God or need God when you're in trouble? Listen to the characteristics. Those who dwell have strength. They turn the Baca, the valley of tears, into wells. They go from strength to strength. They're always praising God. Big difference. You know, in spite of the situation Brother Don finds himself and his wife right now, I can guarantee you, because I know Brother Don for years, I can guarantee you, Don is praising God. Amen. And he learned that in the house of God. There are some blessings to be had for those who dwell in the house of the Lord. For like I said, though there are blessings to be received whenever one visits the house of God, yet like their visits are occasional, so their blessings shall be temporal and only occasional. There's something steadfast about a believer who's continually in the house of God. Do you know that? There's something that strengthens his heart in every circumstance of life. There's always a praise on their lips for those who dwell in the house of God. Do you know that? There are blessings to be had. When he passes through the valley of Baca, it's made a well. You know where Brother Don Harmus is right now and his wife? In that valley. Valley of tears. Oh, there's nothing wrong with weeping. Our Lord did. But oh, let me tell you something. When you can change your weeping, when God by his grace enables you to change your weeping into praise, I'm telling you, you've learned something about God. Do you know one of the highest forms of worship found in Scripture? Do you know who did it? Job, when he lost everything. When he lost everything. Naked I came into the world, naked I shall go. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job fell down and worshiped God. If we can lose everything, and believe me, beloved, none of us has lost what Job has lost. If we can lose everything and still praise God, we have met the highest form of worship that really glorifies and honors God. A Christian who dwells in the house of God can praise God in every circumstance of life. In every trial and affliction, every valley of Becca becomes a well. Every weakness becomes strength. Every sorrow becomes joy. These are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Occasional visitors will not find reason to praise God at all times. They won't see any reason for it. All they see is the darkness and the sorrow and the sadness and the trouble and the affliction. That's all they can concentrate on. Isn't it amazing that the list of beatitudes or characteristics of those who dwell in the house of God, the very first one is praising God, because that's the highest form. That's the highest form of worship, is praising God at all times. He doesn't start with Becca. He doesn't start with the strength. He doesn't start with the valley of tears. No, he starts with praising God. Those who do not dwell in the house of the Lord will only offer praise to God according to their circumstances and situation. When everything is good, they have the highest praise of God on their lips. When everything is bad, they find no reason to praise God. But let me tell you something. If you can't praise God in the valleys, you've never learned to praise God. They will still be praising the continual, constant, genuine. In every occasion of life, in every circumstance of life. Oh, there might be a moment when we're taken back by a severe trial. We're human. Read the Psalms. You'll find it in David. Sometimes the Psalms start out with him crying out to God, but I guarantee you by the end of the Psalm, he's praising God. You know what helps us? That's why it's important praise is first and foremost. Because I'm telling you, we start with God. We don't start with our problems. Most Christians' problems is their thinking. They're thinking wrong. They don't know Scripture enough and they don't apply it enough. Our thinking is wrong. When you have a difficulty and a problem, you never start with your problem. You start with God. You never say how dark it is around me. You always look up to heaven and say, but God, you're sovereign. You're good. All that you do is good. All things work together for the good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God. The trying of your faith worketh patience. You start with God, and by the time you're finished, your problems are just so small and menial. You start with God. So the psalmist starts with praise. So it starts, you praise. Those who dwell in the house of God, whose strength and heart is in the ways of them, shall always and in every occasion be still praising God. I can look back over my life as a Christian, over 40 years as a Christian, 35 years in the ministry. I'm sure some of you can as well. How many people do you know used to sit in these pews and worship God with you, and now you find them no longer in the house of God? No longer wanting anything from God. Oh, many of them won't give up their testimony claiming they're saved, but they never come to church, they never read their Bible, they never pray. And you're still here. You know why? Because by God's grace, He's enabled you to dwell in the house of God. You know what we're going to need in these latter days? And we all know how terrible these days are. And they're getting worse, are they not? Man, I'm telling you, it's hard to believe how quick this world has fallen into depravity. It's always been depraved. But man, I'm telling you, it's reached heights unknown in centuries past. You know how we, as God's people, is going to be able to overcome that? Sitting right here, learning from this. and from your preacher as he preaches the word of God. You dwell in the house of God. I'm telling you, your valleys of Baca will be made wells. You'll get rain when you need it. You might get thirsty out there, but you come in here, I'm telling you, your soul will be revived and refreshed with the preaching of the word of God and the singing of praise and the fellowshipping of the saints. And we go back out in the world strong and triumphant in Christ. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't say out of these things. Look at the list in Romans 8. What shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Shall death, shall peril, shall afflictions, all the whole list. No, Paul says in all these things, not out of them. We seek to get out of things. Stay in it. Stay in it and find God. That's triumphing in all these things. Remember the disciples when they were all rowing on the sea the first time? The Lord was in the boat. They got afraid and said, hey, what's the matter? You don't care that we're going to perish? The Lord said, oh, you have little faith. He stood up. He calmed the seas. Second time that happened. And he was up on the mountain by himself, wasn't even in the boat. What were the disciples doing? They didn't stop rowing. They kept rowing. You see, they learned their lesson. They kept rowing. Now, when the Lord showed up, they were fearful. And he said, no, it's me. It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter walked on the water, you know, all that. But I'm telling you, the second time, they learned something. They didn't get afraid. They kept rowing. We might fall the first time. The righteous man falleth 7 times, but get it right back up. We get right back up. I'm telling you, that's how we learn to trust in God and trust less in ourselves. We trust too much in ourselves. So God, out of his goodness and his grace, teaches us not to trust in the flesh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And he shall acknowledge you. He shall guide thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own understanding. That doesn't come automatically. Amen. The Lord teaches us that. Where does he teach us that? Right here. There's not Scripture does not acknowledge a private religion. Do you know that? COVID wreaked havoc upon the churches. People said, look at there. I don't need to go to church. I can sit at home in front of my TV, in front of my monitor and worship God. No, you can't. It's not that we can't worship God and we want to, but God has designated that we gather together, physically together. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, especially as you see the day approaching. No, this is where God meets us. Not on a monitor. I'm not saying God can't use that. We have sermons online for those who don't have a place. But if you have a place to worship, and I know you do, I know Brother Don, you need to be here supporting him, supporting the ministry, praying, praising God. Amen. You come here, and here's where God manifests himself unlike any other way. You know that? Any other way. You're not going to get it home on your TV monitor or on your computer monitor. So when we gather together in the house of God, Psalm says it. Thy tabernacles, thy courts. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 147:1 says. Listen to this. Psalm 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. Notice how he uses the plural. Watch Scripture. Even Psalm 46, when it's on God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in time of need, people use that. Listen to that. In that Psalm, it talks about plural, our. There's springs of water in the city of our God in that Psalm. What's it talking about? It's talking about the church. Something happens in the church that doesn't happen anyplace else. If you've got a man of God, and he's preaching the word of God, and you have Christians who love God, I'm telling you, you get together and start worshiping God, God does wonderful things. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. You know what comely means? Beautiful. Praise is comely. I like what Spurgeon said about praise. He said, praise is the dress of saints in heaven. It is meet that we should fit it on below. Praising God. Have you ever noticed, if you've been saved very long as well, that as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the hymns and praises you sing mature as well, doesn't it? It should. You want a deeper meaning to it. I used to love, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's bad of itself, but I used to love singing Fly Away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly. That's okay, but when I'm in a deep valley, that doesn't help me at all. But you know what does? A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. That helps me. You want a hymn, you want a psalm, you want a praise that has depth. You're not satisfied with the spoon-fed hymns. You want something that has depth to it. And those hymns, those songs that have scripture to it, have the greatest depth. Where do you learn that? Here. Just a note on that, you won't preach to yourself either. I'm sure you're not going to stand up in your bathroom mirror on Sunday mornings and preach everything you did wrong that whole week and repent of it. You're not going to do that, and that's not the point, but you're not going to do that. You come to church and something happens. How many services have you been into and it's like, who told the preacher? How do you know that? You kind of elbow your husband and say, have you been talking to him? You elbow the wife and say, I told you not to him. That's not it at all. Not only that, I know this world has lost the art of communications with all the text and everything else. But when you sit physically in the presence of your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you can watch their countenance, and you can lift up your voice in praise with them unto God, there's something wonderful about that that you cannot get no place else. On this designated day the Lord has ordained for us to gather together to worship Him, there's nothing more sweeter than that. Look at Psalm 63. Stay with me a few more minutes. Psalm 63. Those that dwell in their house shall still be praising Thee. We looked at this last week ourselves in our church, but Psalm 63, I love it. Psalm 63 in verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Sometimes we read too quick through Scripture. Stop for me. He says, O God, General, Sovereign, Jehovah God. God, Jehovah, Creator of everything. He's exalted Him to the highest. Now watch what He does with that. Thou art my God. You see how personal He makes it? Do you see what He's doing? God of the universe, Jehovah God, you're my God. Let me ask you a question. Could there ever be a trial or trouble big enough to surpass that? You're my God. Early will I seek Thee. You ever rise up early in the morning and begin worshiping? I'm an early riser. I know some people, I love early rising. I love to see the sunrise. I love to see the beginning of the day. They used to have hymns, especially the old Methodist hymns, used to have hymns for the mornings and hymns for the evenings. Wonderful. Distinguished for the morning, when the sun rises, my soul rises with God. My prayers are lifted to the God of heaven, the Jehovah God, who is my God. And it rises with that, and I worship and I praise Him. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth. There it is again. How often do you read that in Psalm? My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. The world offers no comfort to me. Has nothing to refresh my soul. Nothing to quench my thirst. Nothing. What's he thirsting for? Verse 2. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee, where? In the sanctuary. Something's going on in the sanctuary that he wasn't getting out in the world. It's happening here. I encourage you on Saturday nights. Preached a message from Psalm 84 last week encouraging those bivocational pastors, and there's many of us, I'm one. But I encourage you on Saturday nights, if you take some time out, prepare your heart for worship on Sunday. Spend some time alone with God and pray. Search out the Psalms, whatever scripture you might. Sing a few hymns. And then pray for your pastor. I know you pray for him. And that's good. I'm telling you, pastors need prayer. And pray for him. Why? Because he's got to get something from God. There's 66 books in that Bible. And you know how many messages, possible messages there are in that Bible? He's got to find the one that God has ordained for you now, today. Real preachers just don't open the Bible and go, okay, that's the one I want. They're searching for that one text out of 66 books that God wants you to hear. That burden is heavy. Because believe me, I know Brother Don's left this pulpit many times going, I wonder if I did God any glory, if I fed his people. So you pray for him and pray for you, so that when you join here Sunday mornings, your hearts have been made ready. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. You know how hard it is to get our sluggish hearts tuned to sing praise unto God. If you don't, you don't know yourself very well. It takes effort. But I tell you one thing, all that labor pays off when you gather together here and the Word of God is opened and the hymns start being sung and the preacher begins to preach. And when it's over with and you say your last amen and you go out the door, you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 63. My soul thirsts to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Why? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Watch your heart. Watch your heart when you sing praises to God. Sometimes we sing songs so often we don't even think about what we're saying. We're able to sing the words while our mind kind of fades off. You listen to the words. You pay attention to what you're singing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, God, it's well with my soul. They will still be praising thee. In every circumstance of life. I'm telling you, when you can walk like Peter on the waves of trouble and trial and affliction and despair, and you're walking to Christ, I'm telling you, I always wondered what Peter felt like those few seconds he did walk on water. It must have been amazing. Because thy loving kindness. David, like the psalmist in 84, whose soul and heart thirstest for the living God and to see his power and his glory, was in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle of the Lord. Are you following? It was in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle of the Lord. It was in God's house. Psalm 27, our last text for this morning. Psalm 27. I want you to see again David. There's a blessing here in this 27th psalm that we must spend a few minutes looking at. Psalm 27, look in verse 4. Here's David, beginning in verse 4 to 6. Listen to David's words. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell, there it is again, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amazing, isn't it? You say, preacher, we can't spend 24/7 in the church. Oh, wouldn't that be a blessing? In heaven, that would be good. But he's meaning those that are consistent and faithful to the gathering of the saints, to the worshiping of God, those who are continually, consistently there. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold what? The beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. You know what some of you did this morning when we stopped for a moment of prayer? Oh, we do that at home too, but I'm telling you, in the house of God, when we lift up prayers, something as well. Everything that goes on in the house of God, we said this last week in our church, but in Psalm 84, the psalmist even noticed the sparrow and the swallow that made a house and a nest. The doorkeeper, which is the lowest position in the house, he noticed everything during the house, during the worship. He noticed the small thing. I'm telling you, things happen in church when we come expecting it. And to inquire in His temple, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in what? In His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Where is that happening? In the house, in the sanctuary. That's what God's doing. You see the work He's doing in the sanctuary? David said God does that in the sanctuary. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord in the sanctuary. One thing, he said, have I desired of the Lord. You know when David wrote this psalm? He was banished from the courts of God. He was denied his own wife. He was forsaken by his kinfolk. Yet, he didn't desire any of that. What he was grieving the most over was not being able to meet God in the sanctuary. What an amazing truth. Most people say, well, I got to get my wife back. Oh, my kinfolk forsook me. Oh, I'm banished from the... No, David said, no, one thing. Out of all those troubles, David said, one thing I desire. Oh, he wants his wife and family. I'm not saying they're not important, but David said, no, the house of God is more important. I want the house of God. I want to be in the house of God. Watch it. Here's what the Lord said. He that loveth... wife or children or anybody more than me is not worthy of my love. What's the great commandment? Not the greatest, the great. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. God says, I want it all. Don't give me 99.9%. Give me all. In this generation of post-Christianity, most people want to give God half of their time and think that's too much. God says, no, I want it all. I've been working in a nursing home for over 15 years. In 15 years, I've seen a lot of people pass. I see people come in who are old and broken. People who were once lively, young, rich, had family, money, wealth, health. Now they're old and broken. Ask them what their priorities are now. You know what they'll tell you? If they know God, God's my priority. But if they don't, they're just old and broken. They have nothing. Everything has been taken away from them. You see, everything in this life is temporal. You hold on it too much, you're going to lose your joy. Things can be taken away in a moment. A simple phone call. A second when a heart stops beating. Accidents, unforeseen. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Can rip your life wide open. If you dwell in the house of the Lord, though those come, and they might knock you for a loop for a second, I guarantee you, you'll get right back up. And you'll say, but the Lord reigneth, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you've learned in the house of God to turn your valley of tears into wells. You've learned to go from strength to strength. You've learned and understood that the rains will come and God will bless you. And you'll learn also to know what it is to praise God still. All these things are from dwelling in the house of the Lord. Let me read them again in closing so that you might keep them in mind. And next week, our church will continue through these Beatitudes. Blessed are they, verse 4, that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of him, who passing through, he's only passing through. Doesn't say we're not going to have trouble. Okay? You ever noticed in Psalm 23, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you ever notice the Bible says it's a shadow? You can't have a shadow without light. You follow me? We'll all die if the Lord don't come back. We'll all go the way of all the earth. But the Christian has light because there's a shadow in the valley of death. Big difference. Who passing through the valley of Becca, make it a well. God makes those valleys of tears a well of refreshing. The world looks at you and says, you're insane. And we say, no, you don't know my God. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You know what we're doing this morning? You know what we've done this morning? By the grace of God, we've appeared before God. In this place of worship, as God's people, we've lifted up our prayers and our praises. We've heard the word of God preached. And I hope and pray that through all of that, when we leave the house of God this morning, we can all say, my soul, my heart and my faint, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God, and my soul thirsteth for the living God. And hopefully, prayerfully, God allowing, if he doesn't come back or doesn't take us home, we can look forward to you coming back here next week. And Lord willing, hearing your pastor preach to you. And you can once again say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's something that God does here on Sundays that he doesn't do anyplace else. Remember that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And Father, we do pray as we end this service this morning, we do pray for our dear brother Don and his wife. We do pray, Father, Lord, that you would, Lord, grant them what the psalmist has. That spirit of praise in the midst of all of this. Make their valley of Baca a well. Grant them, Lord God, your comfort and your presence like none other. And Lord, enable them, Lord, to get through this. Father, I pray for this church. I pray that, Lord, you'd encourage and strengthen them. Lord, sometimes it's very difficult in this world. We know the trials and afflictions that come upon us. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be faithful to your house and to your man of God. Lord, may you encourage them, strengthen them, keep them. And Lord, may they experience somewhat of this Psalm 84 every time they enter into these walls. Lord, may they continue to cry out for the living God. May you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Brother, I'll turn it over to you.